My name is Gary, but most of you know me as Adam's dad. I haven't been Gary for a long time. First of all, I am not a preacher. I'm not. No, it's, and that's okay. That's not my gift. It's interesting. Gifts are a big part of what I'm going to talk about today. And Chrissy, in our praying before church started, in her prayer, brought up gifts. And I'm always amazed when pastors say, you know, in their sermon, that when they gathered for prayer before the sermon, that people prayed things that the pastor was going to preach about, yet they had no clue that he was going to do that, but the Holy Spirit did. So, Chrissy, you were listening to the Holy Spirit. I thank you for that. It encourages me that I was on the right track here. No, not being a preacher, I'm a teacher. And I'm not going to give you a whole lot of eye contact. I'm going to be reading a lot of stuff, okay? I'm going to be talking about Christian giving today. There's three different parts to Christian giving. There's the tithe, the offering, and alms, A-L-M-S. The tithe, 10%. 10% of what? Is it 10% of money we earn? Is it 10% of what God gives us? Is it 10% of our time given to the church? Does it have to be 10%? First, where did the tithe come from in the Bible? When the 12 tribes of the children of Israel entered into the promised land, after wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, each tribe was given a different part of the promised land as their place to live. Now they could plant crops, plant vineyards, fruit trees, olive trees, dig wells, and prosper because they were sick and tired of wandering. But wait, what did they find? They found fields of grain, vineyards loaded with grapes, fig trees, olive trees, all mature. Sheep and oxen roaming freely. The farms were already marked off and had barns and houses already there. All they had to do was move in. God is awesome, is he not? No one went hungry in Israel that year or for many years to come. The following years, they improved their farms and prospered, but one tribe was not given any land. It was the tribe of the Levites, for they were not to have land. They were only to serve the Lord all across the nation. They were to be the priests and to work in the temple and different festivals and sacrifices. So how could they feed their families? God ordered the other 11 tribes to give a tenth of everything that they harvested to the Levites so that they could go about God's work. And this was 10% portion, which was called the tithe. Nehemiah 10:37 says, "Moreover, we will bring to the storerooms of the house of the Lord, to the priests, the first of our ground meal, of our grain offerings, of the fruit of all of our trees, and all our new wine and olive oil, and we will bring a tithe of our crops to the Levites. For it is the Levites who collects the tithes in all of our towns where we work." Numbers 18:26 says, "Speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive from the Israelites the tithe, I give you as an inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. This is interesting. So the priests are being told to tithe as well. And that would mean your pastor should tithe. When Linda and I were first married, and we had just come home from the Navy, we were brand new Christians. And we really had a rough start. Linda was pregnant with our first child, and I was very, very sick. The baby came, and he was a big guy, 10 pounds, 4 ounces. His name was Eric. Then 2 weeks later, Linda found him in his crib, blue. We got him to the hospital, and we were very fortunate that the closest hospital had a super little baby care unit. Actually, it was the only one in the whole state of Michigan. And he was a tough little guy, but a few days later, he died. We had no insurance, and the bills were in the thousands and the thousands of dollars. We wanted to start our Christian walk doing things the right way. So we wanted to tithe at the church, but we were buried in debt. So instead of putting money in the passing of the plate, I started doing other things for the church. I cut the grass. I pulled weeds. I even painted the outside of the parsonage. You see, the tithe is just not about money. No, it's about your walk with the Lord. Do you think God's broke? They say the streets are paved with gold in heaven. If he gets a little short, all he's got to do is pry up a couple of bricks. I can't give 10%. I've got too many bills. I can't give 10%. I've got too many bills. This is the number one reason why people don't tithe. Linda and I didn't have it either. But we stepped out in faith and we started giving 1%. And boy, did we feel great about it. Trust me, there were times that it was either gas in the car that week or 1% in the offering plate. And guess what? We put gas in the car. We would feel bad about it. So it made us want to budget our money better. I got a raise. Thank you, Lord. I did the math, and it was 4%. Wow, we sure needed that. And you know, we were just getting by without that 4%. So let's start giving another 1% for our tithe, and we'll keep the other 3%. So now we're tithing 2%. As time went on, we finally were turning the corner on our bills, so we bumped up the tithe by another 1%. So now we're giving 3%. Now, there was a big bonus to this kind of thinking as we kept whacking these bills down so we could give more. The bonus was we were getting out of debt. On this journey, something else happens. We became more and more attached to the church, and we wanted to get more involved in what was going on in it, and what its goals were, and what its missions were. Why? Because your faithfulness in giving makes you more a part of the body of Christ where you worship. Giving is also giving of yourself. This is really way more important than the money you give. There's a formula in business that's called the 80-20 rule. What it means is that 20% of your customers gives you 80% of your business. It just works out that way. So in taking care of your customers, you have to be careful not to get pulled away and spend too much time with the smaller customers. You have to give 80% of your time to your top 20% of your customers if you really want your sales to grow. In the church, we have the 90-10 rule. What this means is 10% of the congregation does 90% of the work. The work in the church is a broad spectrum, and it's always been that way since the beginning of the church with the 12 apostles. The reason for this disparity in percentages is because most of the churchgoers has never asked God to show them what their gift is that God has given them. For God has given every one of us special gifts to be used in the church body. I'm going to say that again. For God has given every one of us a special gift to be used in the church body. After finding your gift, then you'll know how to use it. This is just not about a work day fixing stuff, something here at church. No, this is way more important than that. It's finding out your gift and your talents and how they fit into God's church. This is the greatest tragedy in Christian giving in our day. That 90% of God's people don't know what God is calling them to do in the church. They don't know what their part is in the body of Christ. That's a tragedy. God gives talent, abilities, insight, intellect, yet we're sitting and we're sitting, and we're sitting, and we're sitting. Romans 12:6-8 says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Ephesians 4:11-13, and he who gives some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. I'm going to read that last thing again. I know it sounds a little confusing. To the mature man, that's you guys, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. This means to take your gifts that Christ has given to you to the level that Christ wants you to. That's what that means. So all of us has got gifts, and Christ wants you here or here or here, and that's what he wants for you. Your gifts are your journey in the body of Christ until you all attain to the unity of the faith in the church, to its fulfillment of what Jesus has for you. As more and more of us sitting here begin to use our gifts from God, and this church body will grow to what God wants you and the church to be. Makes sense? If we keep going up, family church will keep going up what God wants. What can I do that God's work for God and the church? Well, there's big things and there's small things. But what's really important is, now, get this. Don't miss this. Wake up for a minute. Here's what's important. If you miss this, then you missed why I'm up here this morning. What is important is, big or small, it is that you do it consistently. Why? Why? Because it's for you. It's for you. It'll help you. It'll benefit you. Your walk with Jesus will be closer. Just like giving money to the church, that is all about you and your walk with God. Giving is for your spiritual growth, to give Jesus a bigger part of your life. How do I start? I don't know what to do. First, pray. Pray for God to show you what your gift is and your talents are. A lot of us will say, I have no talents, I have no gifts. Not me. Pray. God will show you. Second, pray that God will show you what you can be part of to help the church with those gifts. This could take a while, so you have to stick to it. Make it a simple prayer in your car on your way to work in the morning for a couple of weeks. God will show you. He doesn't play games with us. Tell Pastor Adam to pray for you during these weeks for God to God will show you what His will is in these things. Examples: music, children's ministry, teaching, wearing name tags every Sunday so everybody can learn each other's names, getting the address of newcomers and sending them thank you cards for coming to our church. So important. Notice newcomers that have come back for the second time. How about baking a loaf of homemade bread and dropping it off to the newcomer's home with a note? Inviting a family that you don't really know very well here in the church that you've been seeing for months home for a meal or to a restaurant just to get them to know who they really are. Volunteer to watch a young couple's children for an evening so they can have a date night out. This is the kind of stuff that builds up a congregation and makes it strong. This is the kind of thing that won't let the devil come through that front door. Ask to be put on a list to take a turn if the church needs cleaning. Ask to be put on a list to take a turn if the church needs something fixed. Ask to be put on a list to make a meal if some family has someone sick and can't cook meals. Be willing to be called to visit somebody in the hospital to pray and encourage them. Scoop and clean the cigarette butts at the front door. My wife does that. Clean one of the bathrooms after church. Here's a couple of big ones. You single moms out there, I don't know how you make it anyway. Help single moms with car maintenance. Help single moms with house maintenance. There's hundreds and hundreds more God will show you, depending on your gift. Tell Pastor Adam what the Lord's telling you, and he'll make sure your journey will get started. That's tithing. Offerings. Offerings are a special savings account that we add monthly to our budget for very special opportunities and for long-range ministry goals. And we keep adding to it and it gets bigger and bigger. In my opinion, and this is just my opinion, the greatest use for an offering is in sending a young person on a mission trip. They will go away as your child or grandchild, but when they come back, you'll say, "Who are you and what have you done with my child?" I remember when the first pair of $100 tennis shoes came out on the market. British Knights. Anybody else remember that? Well, Adam just had to have a pair. See, he's gone. I can tell on him, right? "Dad, see how terrible my tennis shoes are." "Yes, they look awful. Go with your mom and get a new pair." "Thanks, Dad." A very short time later, here comes Adam. "Dad, the shoes I want, they're called British Knights. And they cost $100. After a long and hard consideration on my part, 2 seconds, I said no. Well, after a number of days of negotiation on Adam's part, not mine, I finally made a counteroffer. "I'll pay $50 if you pay $50. Well, I thought that was the end of that subject, but don't you know that little bugger earned his $50? So in my house was a pair of $100 tennis shoes. Adam's first missionary trip was to Mexico. And when he came back, his mother and I were astonished how it had changed him. He seemed older, more mature, and more quiet. One night, we were all going out to dinner. So as we were walking out to the car, I noticed Adam was wearing his old ratty tennis shoes. I told him to go put on his good ones because we were going to a very nice restaurant. He just stood there staring at the ground. "I can't." "What do you mean you can't?" "I gave them away." "What? You know what those things cost. Why'd you do that?" "Because the boy I gave them to didn't have any shoes." They will come back changed. And the more they go, the more the Lord will change them. Offering can also be for something special in the church that is not normally part of the church budget. For example, here's a slide. Adam has had his eye on a beautiful piece of exotic wood. And he and I would like to build a beautiful cross out of it for the front of the church. I remember Rich Allen telling me when he first came to our church that they had visited 3 churches and none of them had a cross up front. Is that right, Rich? Did I get that right? And then you came into our church and we had a cross up front and you came back the second time. Well, we've been without a cross for quite a while now and I'd like to get one back up there. So offering money is going to get that beautiful piece of wood. I forget what kind it is, but it's gorgeous. And Adam and I would like to build that into a cross. If you have offering money saved, a missionary comes to family church, they share what God's doing through their ministry. And after the presentation, Adam asks if anybody feels they should write a check to support this ministry. Put it in a bowl on top of the red giving box. You have the funds. And you can write a check and be obedient to what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Alms. Now, this is my favorite. All through the Bible, you read about the poor, the lame, and the blind begging for money so they could buy bread so they could live. Jesus spent a great deal of his short time on earth reaching out and touching the lives of the poor, the sick, and the helpless. Alms are my favorite giving because the money and time goes to what I call practical Christianity. What is practical Christianity? Practical Christianity is when the body of Christ, the church, or you personally provides something to the poor that has an immediate effect to a great need that they have. Food for the hungry, clothes for the poor, shelter for the homeless. We support Victory Mission monthly. I worked there for a while. Where's John Beaver? John, what does it cost to get a whole skid of peanut butter that they buy? 53 cents. A whole case of peanut butter for 53 cents. Now, me giving 25 bucks to Victory Mission, that buys a lot of peanut butter. And these folks come in and line up, and according to how many children they have, they get these groceries. And a lot of the groceries are donated, but it's all core food, the basics. But you know what? They even have birthday cakes. If they have a child that's having a birthday, they get to take a birthday cake home. And I think that is such a, God's doing such a good thing there. And so in closing, when Adam was a baby, we had a small group of Christian friends. And we had two things in common. One was our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the other was that we were all very, very poor. There were times that Linda and I could not see how we could buy any gas so I could go to work, or how to keep the electric power on. None of us bothered to lock our doors living in northern Michigan. It was like that up there. Besides, what could anybody want to steal in our house? One time, when our back was really against the wall, and we had almost run out of time, Linda opened the refrigerator door, and lying in the center rack was a $20 bill. God is so good. We heard about a family of three young boys whose hot water tank had stopped working. Then we heard it hadn't worked for almost 2 months. Us guys knocked on the door, and we met the wife and these three shy little kids that were peeking out from behind her. She showed us the old tank setup. So when the husband came home from work, we were waiting out in our cars with everything we needed to put a new tank in. One of our wives noticed how ragged the boys were, and you could tell that they had not been wearing any underwear. So, a hot water tank later, and a bag of underwear and new pajamas, we made a bonfire in their backyard. And we played a guitar, and we sang worship songs, and we shared Jesus. They gave their hearts to the Lord. Then out of the house comes these three kids running full blast up to the bonfire wearing nothing but their new underwear. They were so proud, they just had to show us. Practical Christianity. Please pray going to work these next few weeks and ask Jesus what your gift is and what you can give. And remember, Jesus gave you everything.